the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast.
Hey, y'all, this is Jason Bond at Stonewall, Mississippi, and, of course, Dr. Bobby Golden's with me, and we're going to talk about rice again today. And so this is about 3 o'clock on, what's today, Tuesday?
Man, I can't remember what day it is. You know how I am. We've been blowing and going so hard, it's just not happening for me right now in my mental acuity.
Well, we're going to plant some beans and flush them up, so there's that.
Well, we planted a bunch of rice today that we're going to run a furrow irrigation trial on, and we're going to have to water it up with a pivot because there's a pivot that runs through a rice field.
That's ideal.
Imagine that.
Yeah, that's ideal. And we're going to plant some rice tonight, too, or in the morning, one of the two, after we get through planting soybeans. So, yeah, that's ideal for June the 5th, by the way.
Well, you know, in the grand scheme of things, we will learn something out of those trials that may help someone in the future if they do get into a situation where it is a late planting window.
Oh, no doubt. I'm excited about it. I want to see how big a barnyard grass we can kill in these row rice tests, for sure.
But you necessarily don't plant rice in June when all your other rice has been at flood a week.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So, you know, and it has been kind of a crazy week. And we looked at some rice last week, variety of different things. Saw some loyant, good and bad.
You know, I got a call from a guy earlier today that said he was more pleased with the control that he got with Loyan in his rice field than anything he thinks he's ever sprayed. Now, that's selling it a long way, but that's what he said.
Well, man, I can tell you, my guys sprayed a ton of plots yesterday, and I suspect that well over half of them, the treatments they put out had Loyan in it of some, one combination or another. So the interest is definitely there, and I think the feedback we're getting on control is really positive as well.
Yeah, if we get away with that minor issue of keeping it in the field, and because it's a physical drift issue, I think we can attack that very easily and make that product last for us in the future.
You know, the ground rig applications, I don't think, you know, the people that I've talked to, no one's really complaining about those. We've had some problems. It's jumped across the road, but I don't think anyone's been surprised by what they've seen with those ground applications. And then we've had a couple from airplane, you know, aerial applications that maybe went further than what they wanted to. But again, I don't think it's anything out of the ordinary in our geography right now.
And I definitely don't think it's anything out of the ordinary for a first-year chemical that we really don't know how to use yet.
Well, that's true. And I think there are some other things. Water volume, I think, can play a role in it, particularly with the ground applications where you've got more flexibility with water volume. Surfactant, you know, I think there's some unanswered questions there. We're adding some MSO, and that was a discussion point we had with, I don't even remember who that was we were talking to last week, but we were, you know, discussing surfactants. Do we really need that extra half a pint of surfactant when it's already a loaded product? So a lot of that stuff, you know, that's going to work itself out year two, year three.
Yeah, and you know, you go back to a lot of the trials that when we originally screened Loyant, and, you know, I heard you say, yeah, you know, I don't know if we really need that MSO in there.
Yeah, and I can't recall the first one that we did, whether that was there or not, or whether it was added when it was reformulated to the different formulation that's in the commercial product now. So, the other things we saw last week, just really normal stuff for this time of year, wouldn't you say? A little Roundup drift?
Yeah, I think, you know, we sprayed a lot of beans, a lot of beans last week. So we're about this first week of June, you know, we're going to see some Roundup drift, especially with the weather we've had on some late beans. Some interesting things we saw was some Roundup and Fomesifen drift. You can tell them what Fomesifen is, Jason.
Yeah, well, so that's Reflex or Flexstar or, you know, one of the components of Prefix, Flexstar GT. It comes in a variety of different, and there's some post-patent products as well. So it's one of our main Palmer Amaranth herbicides. It's a PPO, you know, if you're familiar with that terminology, but it's definitely one of the ones that we use to control pigweeds. So generally, a lot of our Roundup applications are going to have some form of that product with it, and it can complicate, you know, diagnosing the Roundup drift symptoms on rice, too.
Yeah, definitely. That one specific field we looked at, you kept wanting to say, you know, this is Roundup, this is Roundup, this is Roundup, but it just didn't have that classic look to it. And I think that was that reflex on top of it that, you know, just made it look a little different. Some other things that we looked at this week, obviously we're into about the second week of flood on a lot of our rice. We got a couple calls about rice that didn't jump after that flood was put on from the pre-flood nitrogen. And in most of the situations we looked at there, it was phosphorus deficiency issues. And generally, if your rice doesn't jump after that pre-flood nitrogen, if you hadn't had some type of herbicide drift problem and it's going to be fertility-wise, it's probably going to be phosphorus and or zinc, depending on your pH and your soil texture.
Well, man, you know, last week I posed a question to you about rice acreage, and I was right at the end of the episode, and I kind of felt like we didn't do that justice. So just to follow up on that and kind of tie these together, Bobby, you know, you discussed the acreage, what varieties we were in, but I guess a question I'd be interested to hear your opinion on is, what acreage do you think is sustainable in Mississippi, rice acres?
I think we could sustain a greater number of acres than we're currently sustaining the last several years. You know, we've been down for a little while.
Well, we topped out, what, 2011? Was that our high watermark for rice acres?
2011 was the high watermark for acres, and it was upwards of 330,000 acres of rice. Unfortunately, 2011 was an extreme heat year.
That's right. And I remember that.
I don't know if you have your biggest rice acreage year in a year where you have environmental conditions that may hurt some people that maybe new farmers that didn't know how to deal with that, you lose some acres fast.
Well, I've talked to two or three guys this year that are, you know, new rice farmers, either their first or second year and never grown rice before. So I think that's encouraging. But so why do you think, you know, this, the rice acres that we could sustain, you know, what would drive us higher than we are now?
I think one of the main things that would drive us higher is rice price. If we could get that price up to make more people feel comfortable about it, by expanding markets or doing whatever we have to do to get that price a little closer to $6, I think that's going to open up the markets. We've got abundant resource here to grow rice in Mississippi, and probably could sustain very easily, you know, 400,000 to 500,000 acres today where we might not have in 2011. So what's changed to make us be able to probably grow 500,000 acres of rice if we needed to and we wanted to is our irrigation capacity has dramatically increased on some of our marginal soybean lands with the price of soybeans going up. So now we have an awful lot more land that we could put into rotation with rice and be very good for us here in Mississippi.
Well, you know, one thing that's always surprised me in the years I've been working in Mississippi, and it's been a number of those now, but, you know, is the amount of precision leveled ground that we have. And then not only that, but, you know, driving down the highway and you see a line of power poles out across the field and they're all up on humps basically because we've made a 36 or a 48 inch cut, you know, going across there, and those, you know, poles haven't been moved yet.
Yeah, and you don't see very many of our surrounding states have the soil depth that we have in Mississippi where they could make that 3 foot cut and keep that soil productivity. So I think that's one thing we really got going for us if we want to blow up rice acreage in Mississippi. We got all this precision graded land. We're on a straight levee system, so we won't have those fields like you do across the river where, hey, I may have a 90-acre field with 35 acres worth of levees in it.
Yeah. So what else does that precision grading, what else does that influence? I mean, you talk about water management, but, you know, just managing rice, what makes rice on precision graded ground positive?
Well, I think there's a lot of things. One thing that not a lot of people think about that really doesn't have anything to do with the soil is the ability to do things with a ground applicator. Okay, that's huge. When we take some of the airplanes out there, we could technically fertilize and spray the majority of our rice if it's been precision leveled and on straight levees. Also, with those straight levee systems, you know, we're not cascading a lot of water anymore. We're doing this multiple inlet irrigation, and that seems to get water across the field faster. It's going to incorporate your herbicide and your fertilizer faster. It's going to make for a cleaner crop.
All right, you mentioned soybeans earlier and the fact that we have a greater irrigation capacity on soybeans. I, you know, personally, where my area works into it, with the majority of our rice rotated with soybeans, I would say 95%+. What do you think about that? Is that number accurate?
Yeah, I think that number, 90-95%, is accurate. We probably are on a more set rotation in Mississippi than some of the other states. We do have some rice behind rice fields. Mainly those are in those zero grade areas where it's hard to get water off, and we don't have that potential for, you know, 80 bushel soybeans. So rice is still driving the economic factors for those decisions. But definitely so. I think the majority is rotated.
And that really influences weed control. I mean, we definitely have problems with red rice in some fields, but I think across the rice growing area in Mississippi, we don't have near the intensity of red rice issues as some of the other rice states do, thinking about South Louisiana and parts of Arkansas. And then, too, rotating with soybeans gives you a real opportunity to fight some weeds in that rotation year. You know, take barnyard grass. We have a lot more tools to control barnyard grass in soybeans than we do in rice. So that really, you know, works into the system as well, influencing, you know, the potential for rice in our state.
Yeah, and I think you can see that very clearly. You know, when I started this job, I guess, what was that, 4 years, 5 years ago now, when Tim left us to go to Horizon and I was able to apply and get this rice specialist job, you know, we put in plots that we've had in continuous rice here at the station now for 5 growing seasons. And you can definitely tell the pains of not having a soybean rotation in those fields. And with some of the new technologies out, you know, hopefully that's going to help some.
Yeah, I know you've been fighting some volunteer rice, and part of that where you've had some experimental varieties, and then, you know, it's taken a couple of years to get those beat out. And we've had trouble, too, in years past where we've lost plots and had some volunteer hybrids come back and really had to get aggressive controlling those. So what do you – just crystal ball, you know, what do you see in the next, you know, 3 to 5 years for rice in Mississippi?
Wow, looking that far ahead, you know, and you talk to people about rice in Mississippi, and we've had conversations with some of the great acreage and economic gurus in the United States, and they say for a long time you could always count on Mississippi to grow 200, 250,000 acres of rice. Bobby, what happened? And I say what happened is 80 bushel soybeans happened.
For sure.
So we're really on a roller coaster ride, and I think until we get some market correction, we're going to probably fluctuate between 130 and 200,000 acres. That's just until something changes. I think where we're going to be, I think our high water mark will probably be in that 225 for the next, like you said, 3 to 5 years. Now, that said, what you talked about, the resource we had here in Mississippi, if rice price was to spike and go through the roof, we could very easily have 400,000 acres of rice very quickly, because as you alluded to earlier, we have some new rice farmers in the game. The advent of row rice has put some new rice farmers in the game, and we've got our standard tried and true guys out there that are always going to have the rice acreage.
Well, and I don't know if we've talked about this previously, but, you know, we know that Bolivar County, Tunica County, Those are our, you know, strongholds for big acres of rice. So if you talk about rice expanding in Mississippi, what's kind of your gut feeling on where that geography would be? Would it go south in the Delta, or would we just get more acres in these other counties that, you know, or maybe the third, fourth, or fifth in rice acreage? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think we will increase acreage in those counties, you know, Panola, Quitman, up through there. I think if the price come back strong, you would see Sunflower County come back, where it's always been a historically strong rice county. You'd see it come back. And then I think as we change the way we operate and we could reduce some of our drift issues, you'd see the rice acreage below Highway 82 come back in short order.
Yeah, you know, you talk to those guys south of Highway 82, and that's one thing that they always offer as a reason that influences the rice acreage there more so than in Bolivar County and Tunica County, where we have bigger blocks of rice. I mean, you inevitably end up with a rice field somewhere south of Highway 82 that has soybeans on all four sides of it. And there's just almost no way that field's going to make it through the year without getting hit from one direction or another with one herbicide or another.
Yeah, and we have done a better job the last several years of getting bigger blocks of rice in the South Delta that has protected them to some degree, more so than we have in the past. You know, that's the funny thing is you see our sister states and their rice acreage is very stable. And I think that all goes back to what you started with, is our soil resource is so productive here. We could pretty much grow any crop you can grow in the Mid-South on most of our land. We have very deep soils. So look at cotton. Cotton was always king in Mississippi. Cotton almost went away. And with 92-cent cotton, look where we're at this year.
There's a lot of cotton still going in even now. People are talking about, you know, on some losing some soybean fields, a possibility of planting cotton there. So what you're saying is we have the luxury of being able to plant to the market.
And that is the luxury that we have that I think a lot of other states surrounding us don't. And that's really what's driving our planting intentions and decisions here in the state.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, what's on our horizon? We've got a full day planned on Thursday with a bunch of field visits with some problems that we haven't diagnosed yet. And I think we, you know, talking about future podcasts, we talked about maybe bringing some of the graduate students on that are doing rice projects and telling you guys what they're working on. You know, we've got five graduate students right here at Stoneville, you know, that are working on rice projects, all fully funded by the Mississippi Rice Promotion Board, which is a, you know, we could do a whole podcast on the Mississippi Rice Promotion Board and what
they
do.
And I think we will.
Yeah,
we will do that.
For sure. So, that's all I have, Bobby. You have anything you want to wrap up with?
And, you know, if y'all are liking what we're doing here, please tell us. Give us a phone call. We've heard from some people. We'd really like to know what y'all want to hear about. I think this is a good delivery method to get stuff out there. You know, I don't have time to sit down and read anything anymore, but a lot of times when I'm driving down the road by myself, I just click the button and listen. So if you got something you want to hear, I'll say like we always, let us know. If you don't like something we said, let us know and we'll try to address that too. But we'll sign off today, and if y'all got a problem, give us a shout.
Thank you.
The Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast is produced by the Mississippi State University Extension Service.